And as you balance on the femur heads, the xiphoid process pointing over the pubic symphysis. And let's now cycle the arm above the head, picking up the front and down the back. And leave the arm above the head. And the same thing with the other arm. So you end up with two arms above your head. Okay. Now let's blow through the imaginary straw and then let your arms drop down by your sides. Blow. And then let's just shrug the shoulders with soft elbows and drop. And again, let's just shrug the shoulders, soft elbows, and drop. Okay. Now, in constructive rest, here's what we'll be doing. First of all, we're going to line up the knee, ankle, and iliofemoral joints. Then, after that, I'm going to ask you to cycle your arms above your head as you lie down and let the arms rest on the floor above your head. That is above in terms of going head from pelvis to head. And we're going to do the close image with the arms above the head instead of the arms being over the rib cage. I'm going to expand you a little this morning. Then after we do that, you'll bring your arms back. I'll ask you to just simply rotate the arm this way over the head and then bring it down back to regular constructive rest. And then we're going to work up the front and down the back of the spine with an image I call the river. And it's simply to imagine the river going up the front and down the back. The river flowing up the front of the spine and down the back. Remember, the sternum is like a bridge. The river goes under the bridge and then comes down the back. Okay. We'll begin by lining up the three-leg joints. So let's take partners and go into constructive rest. I think we have to take the benches back, so we'll get those out of the way. Take your line from the center of the knee back to the center of the acetabulum. Leave a finger in the center of the thigh crease. Put the other hand at the knee. And your partner thinks of a line from the center of the knee back to the center of the acetabulum. And while you're at this, with this line, let the femur head sink into the acetabulum there. Just imagine that. Okay. Now, extend your hand at the knee down over the leg, down through the foot, through the second toe, and grasp the second toe, and see if you can imagine a plane passing through the second toe and foot, ankle, center of knee, and the acetabulum. Now, let's define that by putting both hands on the knee around the center. And you're going to move the hands in opposite directions. One will go to the thigh crease again, and the other will go to the second toe. You're going for the same thing you did before, except now you're going to take both hands and run them in opposite directions to define the parameters of the plane that we just said. Just want you to get a sense of those three joints being approximately in alignment. After you do that two or three times, then leave one hand on the center of the crease, the thigh crease, and the other the tip end of the second toe. Right, now we'll go to the other leg. And let's just take the line moving into the acetabulum here. And with the other leg, with the other hand, I'm sorry, touch the knee. Give your partner a chance to see the line, and while you're at it, you might as well let the femur head roll into the acetabulum, the cup, the thigh socket. And then you can take the hand on the knee and slide it down over the ankle, through the foot, through the second toe, and grasp the tip end of the second toe, pull on that just a bit, now, an imaginary plane passing through the second toe, foot, ankle, knee, and center of thigh socket. We'll define that now by putting our two hands on the knee and slide them in opposite directions, one to the thigh crease, the other to the second toe, of course going over the ankle. That helps to define the parameters of the plane. Do that two or three times. You end up by holding the tip end of the second toe, have a finger in the thigh crease, and you can imagine the plane again. Since you just did the two thigh bones separately, centering them, let's just at least do both of them at the same time in the thigh sockets. Just have both thigh sockets touched by your thumbs. And then we can take both planes down over the knees, over the lower leg, through the ankle, through the second toe. Just want to put it together by doing the two together. Now, let's take the sit bones melting down the backs of the legs through the heels. Here you give tactile aid from the sit bones down to the heels, just moving your hands. Again, a couple of times or three times. And then touch the sit bones with the two hands and leave them stationary. The image is still to let the sit bones melt down to the heels. Now, will you cycle your arms above your head one at a time by running the fingertips up the central front wall of your body? Think up the front of the spine and down the back as you do that, and then leave the arm above the head as you get it above your head. Leave it on the floor, and then do the other one. You'll end up with two arms above your head. Now, as you let your arms rest above your head, adjust them so that they're resting on the floor and not exerting pressure against your shoulders. You can move them to the point where they rest on the floor. Okay. Better they should rest easily on the floor, Danny, than to be... Oh, I see you have that. Well, okay, if that's comfortable, all right. Now, we're going to use the image of the clothes in this position. You notice this feels a little different from the other. It's a little more open than the other position, and I want this to be a position which you also practice constructive rest part of the time. So we'll put the pants legs of the clothing over the hanger now. Just come up under your partner's knees. You're imagining yourself as an ensemble of clothing. Maybe we should give our partners just a few seconds to get that together so that we don't surprise you with that. Okay, now let's put the pants legs over the imaginary hanger. Now, again, you're going to see the knee ends of the femur bones here extending. I'm assuming that you are imaging the support. The tactile aid is helping you with that. And then the back of the clothing will spread on the floor, which is the same thing as lengthening your spine, really. The front part of the clothing will settle against the back. And don't forget to use the arms as sleeves and the legs as trouser legs. Would you blow through the imaginary straw and let that happen? Blow. Okay, now release the tactile aid. And now, while the breath is reestablishing itself, for those of us who are giving tactile aid, one connection that I neglected to make when we were lifting objects on our femur heads. When you give tactile aid, please employ that principle. Without the hissing for a moment, let's just practice lifting our partner's legs, bending our three joints, letting our knees extend, and lift on our partner's legs, letting the weight rest on our femur heads. You want to apply this principle in giving the tactile aid. Now, the other thing about that is you let your spine get longer. Not to bend the spine. That's right. Lengthen the spine. Okay, now release that. Don't want to hold this too long. Not a very tenable position. Okay, now let's give some tactile aid on the front of the seat of the pants. Let the sides settle down evenly on either side. If you wanted to use the image of the planes we took up yesterday as becoming parallel to the floor, that would be another way to do that if you want to. And then you come on up to the rib cage and you're going to watch the coat settle on the floor evenly on either side. And then you can come on up to the upper part of the shoulders, the coat, which would be under the shoulders actually, under the clavicles. Now, in this position, it's a little more difficult to empty the clothing, but a very valuable process to work on. It will actually eventually give you the possibility of extending your arms above your head even further. It will increase that range of movement. That's good. That's where you do that. Very good, sir. And as you let the front settle against the back up here, in particular, think of it spreading out, opening up. So this area here, I think it's good to think of it not only physically opening up, but psychologically opening up. So you aren't shutting yourself off from the world by closing that area in, you see. It's a psychological as well as a physiological phenomenon. Okay, now let's put the pants legs over the hanger again. And we're going to watch the support, see the back of the clothing spreading on the floor. And again, the front part settling against the back. We are supporting our partner's legs, a little bit of weight we're taking out on our femur heads. All right, blow through the imaginary straw, blow. And let your breath be on automatic. Okay. Now let's work on the legs, the trouser legs. Let the trousers front settle against back. That's pretty good. A little more emptiness in here in your thinking, in front settling against back. And about here you could think of more emptiness. Okay. Now, we'll go up to the upper part of the body. We're going to do the same image. We'll do the same image, excuse me, with the tactile aid being given in a different place, the arms. So you think of pants legs over the imaginary hanger, the knee ends extending, the back of the clothing spreading on the floor, and the front part settling against the back. And as you blow through the straw, we're going to slide our hands over the upper sternum, over the arms, through the fingertips. All right, blow. Breath be automatic when you finish blowing. And again, let's touch the clothing right up under the clavicles and keep letting that empty and front settle against back. That's right. All right. Now once again, image the pants legs over the hanger. The knee ends extending of the trousers. The back of the clothing spreading on the floor. Front part settling against the back. You blow through the imaginary straw. Blow. Again, let's touch the upper part of the clothing here. Right. Now, to get your arms back over your rib cage, circle them over the arm, over the head, the elbow over the nose, a little half circle there, and bring the arm back to where you normally have it in constructive rest, whatever your way of doing the constructive rest arm position is. Okay, let's try it this way. You reach to the wall behind you, the inside of the elbow coming over the nose. Okay. Now we'll finish this session off with the cycle of the river. And what we're going to do is to touch some strategic points along the body, hold them for just a few seconds, which will remind our partners to see the river flowing on the front of the spine or deep in the body without stopping the flow. The tactile aid will be stationary, but the flow should remain flowing. So the first place we'll touch is below the navel, between the navel and the pubic symphysis here. You're seeing the river flowing up the front of the spine and down the back. Then we'll actually touch the navel. River flowing under that. Then above the navel, but below the xiphoid process. Then the xiphoid process. And then the middle of the sternum. then the top of the sternum. Now, while you're touching the top of the sternum with one hand, take the other hand and run it down the back of your neck, back of your partner's neck, until you get to the seventh cervical. And I want to see the river flowing down the back from there. Keep your touch on the top of the sternum because the river's flowing up under that. Okay, we'll touch. Just two or three strategic points in back. Come up under your partner's body and let's touch on the spine between the shoulder blades. That's a point where we don't let the channel flow quite often, and it needs to flow freely. Flow freely between the two shoulder blades, so you're touching in there. And then let's come on down to about the 12th thoracic vertebra. Remember, you can judge that by estimating where the lower end of the sternum is, the xiphoid process, and being about an inch below that. Twelfth thoracic is a pretty important point because that's where the curve changes direction to help establish balance in the spine. That is, the thoracic curve begins to change direction into the lumbar curve there at the 12th thoracic. Then we can go on down into the lumbar itself for just a moment. Let the flow go down through there. Sometimes we tend to inhibit the flow there. Just leave our partners alone for a few moments, let them assimilate. Please take the ties off your partner's legs. All right, now put your arms down by your sides and roll over to one side or the other, and then onto your hands and knees, and sit back on your heels. Fold the trunk of your body on your thighs. Now, let's imagine that the creases in the thighs and knees are as foldable as they will be, pass planes through the thigh creases coming out the buttocks to help make that a stronger image. Now watch the river flowing up the front of the spine and down the back, or think up the front and down the back, whatever way you like, and unfold till you sit on your heels. That's right. Then come up to standing whatever way you wish. balance on the two thigh bones. See the central axis vertical to the floor. Xiphoid process pointing toward the pubic symphysis. And cycle your arms above your head, thinking of being aware, thinking up the front and down the back, being aware that your central axis is vertical to the floor. And you're going to leave your arms above your head and blow through the imaginary straw, and at the end of the blowing, just let your arms drop down by your sides. Blow. Now with soft elbows, shrug your shoulders and let them drop. And again, let's shrug the shoulders and let them drop. So we'll take a line from the center of the knee to the center of the acetabulum. You're touching the thigh crease with one finger and the center of the knee with another finger on another hand. Let the femur head drop into the cup, the acetabulum. Let the knee line extend down over the ankle through the center of the ankle and the second toe. Hold the tip end of the second toe with one set of fingers. Still have a finger in the thigh crease. Imagine a plane passing through the centers of the acetabulum, the knee, the center of the ankle, and the second toe. Let's define the plane now by putting our two hands on the knee and then moving them in opposite directions toward thigh crease on the one hand and toward second toe on the other. And do that two or three times. And then hold the tip end of the second toe again while you leave the fingers of the other hand in the thigh crease. See the plane pass through the three joints and the second toe. Okay, let's go over to the other leg. Center of knee, center of acetabulum. You're touching the thigh crease in the center with one hand, the knee at the center with the other hand. The head of the femur drops in the acetabulum. Slide the hand from the knee down over the foot through the second toe. Grasp the end of the second toe. Imagine a plane between passing through the center of the iliofemoral joint, the knee joint, the ankle joint, and the second toe. And let's define the parameters of the plane by taking both hands, put them on the center of the knee, run them in opposite directions to the thigh crease, to the second toe. And do that 2 or 3 times. You end up holding the second toe on one end and having the fingers in the thigh crease on the other hand. Again, see a sagittal plane passing through the centers of all three joints and the second toe. Now you can work on the centers of the two thigh joints. You can come into the two just to think of the femur head sinking in the cups. Then you can think the planes going on both legs at the same time, right through the second toes. Then the sit bones will grow down the backs of the legs to the heels. After you give the moving tactile aid, then just give stationary tactile aid. Now that has instilled some awareness of that aspect of the alignment. So let's put the arms down by the sides now and cycle them one at a time up over your head, letting the arms rest on the floor behind you, above your head. Adjust your arms so they're resting on the floor. If you have to bring them down a bit, that's right. That's better than having them dangle and exert pressure against your body. Okay. So select an ensemble of clothing that you'll imagine yourself to be, and we'll put the clothing over an imaginary hanger. Remember, you're going to lift on the tops of your thigh bones whatever weight you take out of your partner's legs. And you'll see the back of the clothing spreading on the floor, the knee ends of the femur bones extending, and the front part settling against the back. Let's blow through the straw. Blow. While the breath is reestablishing itself, we'll just touch the front part of the seat of the pants, and we'll see that settle toward the seat of the pants evenly on either side. And then we'll go up to the ribs and touch the lower ribs. We'll watch the ribs settle against, not the ribs, you could do that, but let's think of it as clothing. The front of the coat settling against the back, evenly on either side. And then we'll go up to the upper part of the clothing, and you're touching under the clavicle here. See that as empty. It's more difficult here, but see it as empty, and front settling against back, and spreading up, opening up. And the legs, we're going to see those as empty and emptying, and front settling against back. That's pretty good. Work for a little more sense of emptiness here in your thinking. Better. And then here, let's see how this is. Good too. A little more emptiness here, and this is very soft clothing in here. One way to empty the pants legs, to help the pants legs empty, is to think of the thigh crease as being deeper. Right. Okay. Let's put the legs, the trouser legs, over the hanger again. And watch into the other one. Well, you'll be doing that while I lift them, right? Okay, let's put the pants legs over the hanger. We'll watch the back of the clothing spreading on the floor, and the front part settle against the back. Blow through the straw. Blow. Okay, now while the breath is restoring itself, we're going to come up to the upper part of the body now. Same imagery, but different tactile aid. We're going to be focusing on the upper part of the clothing, including the arms and sleeves. Image the pants legs over the hanger, the knee ends extending, and the back of the clothing spreading on the floor, and the front part settling against the back. We'll give tactile aid over the upper sternum, extending out into the two sleeves. Blow. Then you can touch the top of the coat under the clavicles, and give your partner an opportunity to see this area empty out again and front settle against back and the clothing spread out. That's quite good what you're doing. Very nice. Once again, you see the pants legs over the hanger, the knee ends extending, the back of the clothing spreading on the floor. And as the front settles against the back, we'll work on the sleeves in the upper part. Blow. To get the arms back over the ribs, reach to the wall behind you and then circle over the head with the arms. You'll find the inside of your elbow will come approximately over your nose. Okay. then you can do the same thing with the other arm. Now your arms are going to be in the normal constructive rest position for you. Okay, now we're ready to do the cycle, and that's up the front and down the back. We're just going to touch a few strategic points. First, we'll come below the navel, but above the pubic symphysis. You're just seeing a nice river, water temperature, whatever you'd like it to be, moving up the front of the spine and down the back. However you can conjure up that image, you see, you can get more and more clear about that as you practice it. That's it. You got it now. And then we'll come on up to the navel itself, pretty close to it. Be sure to let the river run under you. That is, under where you're being touched. And then we'll go above the navel. And then we come up to the xiphoid process. That's the lower end of the sternum. Think under it. Then the body of the sternum, that's the middle part. Then the manubrium, the top of the sternum, be under that. Now while you're touching the top of the sternum, run your fingers down the back of the neck till you get to the seventh cervical vertebra, that little long one at the base of the neck. River you're seeing very clearly now coming up under the sternum, the top in particular, and from the seventh cervical moving down the back of the spine. Now, to finish off, we're going to touch two or three strategic points in back. One of the most important ones is between the shoulder blades. That's where the channel gets stuck. Can you hold the machine on my neck up so I don't rest it on Ruth?